Hi, this is Ashley.
And Maggie.
And you're listening to The Watering Hole, a place where animals and animal enthusiasts regularly drink. Every episode we'll talk about different animals and why they're cool, from basic biology to the threats they face and what people are doing about it. All while under the influence. Quick, hurry up and chew.
Oh my gosh.
I know. This is an episode where Maggie and I need to eat a pizza now on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Try to eliminate the mouth sounds as much as possible, mainly for my own benefit.
So when you're editing, you don't have to
listen to that. Yeah. Also, while I was saying that, I could feel a booger in my nose, like vibrating. You know what I mean?
Oh, I hate that. Yeah, you just got a blow snot rocket.
But
do you need a tissue?
No, I think it's crawled back in its hole.
Ew. Well, I'm gonna go vomit now.
Perfect. Or are you eating another piece of pizza?
I was gonna get more pizza. Do you want some?
No, I'm good right now.
I love how now my pizzas just always have anchovies. Also,
I feel like you never had anchovies before.
I've always loved them.
I know. Oh, I guess like, how many times have I before the podcast? I feel like ever since you made me try them and realized I didn't like them, you're like, well, I must have them now.
So whenever I have my own pizza, whenever I have pizza at home, I'll just buy like a can of anchovies to add for myself, for my own benefit.
Well, yeah. For Argos?
Clearly, he's very into it tonight. Oh my gosh.
I have no anchovies.
He's hovering around both of our pizzas. Pieces of pizzas.
Nice. So we're disgusting. How are you?
Oh my gosh. Today was such a long day at work. We were at the office and you were like, hey, so 7 o'clock might not work for me. Maybe let's push it back to 7:30. And I was like, I'm still going to aim for 7 because I know I'm always late and I'll maybe get there around 7:30. And you're like, haha, Maggie, I'll see you at 9. Well, I showed up at 8.
So split the difference. We were both wrong, but also both right. You know, sometimes that just happens.
It does happen. I had so many things happening. I was going to get done a lot earlier at work anyway.
Oh my gosh, she's always moving.
I know. Did you know, when I was a kid, I was not even 5 years old, and I called my mom a kangaroo because she's always hop, hop, hopping around.
That's pretty good.
And it was because, like, I am my mother. I can't sit still for longer than 30 seconds. It's really not ideal.
Can I tell a story about how I was clever as a child, but a little bit more morbid?
Yeah, let's hear it.
When my grandmother, my father's side passed away, I was young. I was probably like 7 or 8, I think.
Okay.
And we were at the funeral, and for some reason, my dad, who loves trivia, asked, what is the most popular, our family's big into Queen. Mm-hmm. So we asked, what's the most popular Queen song?
Yeah, I've heard this story.
that is played at funerals. The correct answer is The Show Must Go On.
Which doesn't seem like it should be, right? It really doesn't.
My answer was Another One Bites the Dust.
Absolutely.
And as like an 8-year-old, I like astounded my family. Yeah.
Everyone was like, how'd she get so clever?
So I'm still very proud of that story.
That's a good story. Oh my gosh. Speaking of, this is not clever. This is the opposite of clever.
Perfect.
Yesterday I was on the phone with one of my girlfriends and I was talking about Seoul, Korea, and how I have one friend over there. And I was like, well, you know, it's my, and then it clicked in my head. I was mm-hmm. like, my Seoul friend in Seoul. And then I just started laughing to myself and she's like, Jesus.
Always good when you're the one laughing loudest
hard,
at your joke.
Hard at my own joke, yeah.
Based on how you set that up, I thought it was gonna be a much worse pun. So it was actually pretty good.
Great, thank you.
Are you ready for my clue?
I am.
I'm pretty excited about it.
Really?
That's
great. Okay, good.
Okay, ready? I'll take that as a yes. This is Florida's most ancient resident.
Most ancient resident? Are you doing the American alligator?
I am doing the American alligator.
Really glad I didn't.
That's so funny.
She was right on the edge, ladies and gentlemen. Damn.
Waiting for that moment.
Literally, was talking to Adam earlier and I was like listing off the animals that I wanted to do mm-hmm. and American alligator was in that list.
Excellent. Well, that means why did I take a bite of pizza? I had one bite left. I was like, I need to finish this piece. Well, that means that you must be excited about this animal.
Very excited.
Well, hopefully I'll do you justice. And if I do poorly, then you can do it next time.
Okay. Sounds great. I'm ready.
So the American alligator, or its Latin name, Alligator Mississippiensis, which sounds fake, but I promise is real. But this is a large crocodilian that can be found in the southeastern United States from North Carolina to the Rio Grande in Texas, but most commonly are found in Florida.
Yeah, indeed.
The biggest bulk of them.
So excited about this.
I'm sure most of you have seen what an alligator looks like, but just in case, they are large with a armored body, short legs, muscular tail, and long, rounded snout.
Snoot.
Big snoot, large snoot. But this armor, quote unquote, are actually bony plates that are either called osteoderms or scutes.
They're called scutes!
Scutes, which I think is the same thing like the underbelly of a turtle. I think those are scutes as well.
Okay, so, cool.
But they're like bony bits. Bony plates, bits, what the hell? So how large is large? The average adult size for a female is 8.2 feet in length or 2.6 meters. Average for a male is 11.2 feet or 3.4 meters, so they're long. Exceptionally large males can weigh nearly half a ton, 1,000 pounds. 454 kilograms. But that's big. Also, why is a ton 2,000 pounds? What a weird unit.
A ton?
A ton.
Oh.
That's a big ton. I don't like it. So they can get pretty big.
They can indeed.
Very large. And of course I can't forget about their teeth because
their teeth, those good old teeth.
Something alligators are known for is their toothy grin, right?
They really are.
I didn't do any like cultural references to alligators. I feel like I should have done that. I feel like there's probably a ton of them.
What do you mean? Like a toothy grin and see you later alligator? And...
yeah. Or just like cartoon characters. I feel like they come up a lot in like pop culture.
How many cartoon alligators do you know?
Well, I'm picturing one in my head that may or may not be real. What's the one? Oh, I'm picturing the crocodile from Peter Pan. That's wrong.
I'm picturing the alligator in Robin Hood.
He walks around, right? Is he a sheriff?
No, that's he's a wolf.
Yeah.
The sheriff.
What is the alligator?
He announces everything.
Oh!
Attention, everyone.
Whoa!
He's got a real, real deep voice. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Argos.
Just like Argos. So alligators have a lot of teeth. They have between 74 and 80 teeth at a time. And as they wear down, they are replaced.
Cool. Like sharks?
So, yes. Not like us. We lose our teeth. They're just gone. So this means that an alligator can go through 3,000 teeth in a lifetime.
Whoa! That's a lot of teeth.
Is crazy.
Yes.
You can use their teeth to distinguish them from crocodiles. There's other features as well. Mm-hmm. But the biggest is that the large fourth tooth in the lower jaw of an alligator fits into a socket in the upper jaw and therefore is not visible when the mouth is closed. In crocodiles, it is visible. So if you see those big like bottom teeth,
that's
a crocodile. Also, if it's in Africa, it's a crocodile.
Yeah. I like how, when I was younger, I liked how alligators' mouths closed nice and what I considered clean.
Yes. A nice little pocket that it fits right into.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Genius. Evolution was on point for really that was. One. So I mentioned you can find them in the U.S. Specifically, you find them in freshwater, slow-moving rivers, and also swamps, marshes, and lakes. They can spend time in salt water, but they can't tolerate it as well as crocodiles.
It's true.
Because they don't have salt glands. They can be in salt water, but they don't like it. So, also, if it's hanging out in salt water, probably a crocodile.
Right.
Which, by the way, there are American crocodiles. There's not nearly as many as American alligators, but American crocodiles do exist. They are cold-blooded or ectothermic, so aka they rely on their environment to provide warmth, unlike us, where we can usually regulate our own body temperatures. For those watching it on camera, I'll make sure to edit it so you can see it up close and personal. Fuck! I'm trying to come off as the smooth one and I am failing. Maggie just missed her mouth and she was trying to take a bite of pizza. Oh, and she's still struggling. The saga continues. But I was making a joke about how humans can regulate their own body temperature, but I always joke that I can't because I am, the second I'm cold, I'm extremely cold, and the second I'm hot, I'm boiling. This is actually true for alligators, well, maybe not to that extreme, but they're dependent on outside temperatures,
mm-hmm.
To control their body heat. So you'll often see them basking along the shore to warm up in the sun, or they'll even dig holes to trap the heat from and get the heat from like the holes.
I'm having so much trouble.
You are. I was just like, I'll just keep talking.
You don't have napkins in this house.
I do. You didn't ask for one. Would you like a napkin?
No, I've got it.
Now she all of a sudden, sorry, I don't have a ton of, actually, I do have paper napkins from takeout, so I could grab you just one of those.
It's fine.
But now that you've complained, I won't. So one of the reasons that alligator, there's a couple reasons that why alligators came up for me.
Okay.
But one was on some social media platform, of course. It's winter when we're recording this. It'll still be winter when it's released, but I just think that's important to set the scene. And so recently we've had some really cold days, and I was seeing these videos of, and photos of alligators basically frozen in the water, mm-hmm. which is just crazy because they literally are frozen in the water with just their nose, nostrils above.
They just get their water. Snoot above.
Just get their snoot above, and they're fine. So they go into a state that's similar to hibernation, but it's called brumation, mm-hmm. Where as long as their nostrils are above water, they're good to go. Their mm-hmm. metabolism and body temperature decreases, and their heartbeat goes way friggin' down. One video I watched said it's 3 beats per minute, which is
wild.
Crazy slow. So this is a way that they can deal with really cold temperatures. And the biggest difference between hibernation and brumation is that if it's brumation, they can periodically emerge and move around when it's warmer. Whereas when an animal hibernates, it kind of needs to hibernate like the whole time.
And so it's like really bad if it wakes up. So who did we cover recently that also enters brumation?
Recently? Probably some kind of frog or something. Frogs do that a lot.
Right.
Well, I wish I could brumate. Just curl up in a little ball, and as long as I could get my nose above the covers. Not in water. I don't want to do it in a prison. Like, that sounds horrible. It actually sounds like a nightmare. I had a dream the other night where my sister fell in some weird mossy hole, and I had to go save her. It was Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
I meant to text you this morning.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, we were, like, walking around, like, this, like, marshy path, and they were like, be careful. There's, like, big holes. And then she stepped in one, and it was, like, right down. I had to go save her.
That is scary. What would you rather have, a partner that has night terrors or a partner who snores?
Probably snores.
Really?
Because I think I couldn't, like, if they woke up screaming or something like that, I don't know how I would comfort them, and also I would be scared.
I think I would take the night terrors.
And I would try to, could I take things to fix the snoring or sleep in my own bed?
I can't stand snoring. I can't. And I wake up so easily. Uh-huh. Whereas at least like a night terror isn't every night.
That's true.
It's not a guarantee.
This is true. So alligators.
We were talking about animals?
Oh, yeah. So I don't think this is surprising, but alligators are carnivorous. Shocker. Their jaw is so strong that it can crack a turtle shell.
Mm-hmm.
Snap. Crackle.
Pop
the turtle shell. It's dark. But they also eat fish, snails, invertebrates, birds, frogs, and mammals that linger too close to the water's edge. Usually they'll consume the prey whole, but will shake it apart into smaller pieces. But if it's real big, they'll bite it and spin along the long axis of their body. This is called an alligator roll. They also have a special adaptation in their throats called a glottis. Glottis? Glottis. G-L-O-T-T-I-S. Glottis? But this allows them to capture prey completely submerged in water, which is pretty cool. And I don't have any more information other than that. I probably should have looked
more. I thought you were going to just end the animal there.
Oh, no, no, no. Okay. No. I still have a page. But I don't have any more information on the glottis.
On the glottis. Okay, got it. glot it.
That's glottis. Pretty good. That was better than soul. So alligators start reproducing at 10 to 12 years of age.
Really? that's what I'm gonna hold on to.
All right, perfect. Females build nests out of vegetation, and they can lay up to 90 eggs in the
I'm sorry, what was that? Where do they lay their eggs?
In the nest. Sounds like I was gonna say in the ass.
You could have tried to
take another big swig.
Could have tried to cover that and say in the attic, but
no, I just fully lost it. They can lay up to 90 eggs in the nest, but average closer to 40. So these little hatchlings, to let their mothers know they're ready to hatch, the young alligators will make a high-pitched noise from inside their eggs.
Sure do.
Which is super cute. Oh, what a weird order I put this in. Anyway, but like other reptiles, the sex of the hatchlings is determined by the temperature of the eggs.
Yeah.
So this is true in sea turtles. It's really mm-hmm. prominent, assuming other reptiles, but those are, that's the one I can
Another
think
animal
of.
We covered here recently.
Yeah, I think it's true for a lot of reptiles.
Yeah.
So temperatures of 31 Celsius or below produce females.
Right. Right. Celsius, not Fahrenheit.
Not Fahrenheit. 32 degrees Celsius produces 75% males and 32.5 degrees Celsius and above, mostly females. So females like it hot.
Really warm.
Sure. For those who haven't seen baby alligators, I think they're adorable.
They're so cute.
They're so cute. I mean, they're just like miniatures of adults. And then they make beautiful noises, just like Maggie. But what is surprising, I think, to a lot of people is that alligators are actually very good mothers. Mm-hmm. They're often seen carrying their young around in their mouths to transport them, which begs the question, how are they so gentle? Because we heard earlier, if you were listening, that they have this incredible bite. They can break a turtle shell, mm-hmm. and yet they're transporting these like tiny little young hatchlings around.
What a good mummies.
So if you can crush a turtle shell, how can you carry around this tiny baby without squashing it? Well, it turns out that, this is how I wrote it, turns out that alligators are incredibly sensitive. So this was another reason I wanted to do alligators, is because I'm still working my way through that book, An Immense World, which I still, was that you or Argos?
That was me.
Oh, which I still highly recommend. And I was taking notes, and the alligators, one of their primary senses is pressure perception. So if you ever look really closely in an alligator's mouth, or even not that closely, you'll see their mouth is lined with a bunch of raised domes. Kind of looks like they described it as a beard of blackheads, which is my worst nightmare.
Ew.
But just a lot of bumps. And these are pressure.
Wait, top or bottom of the snoot?
I think both. And they're also inside as well.
Okay.
And these are pressure receptors that can detect even the tiniest of vibrations. And I think one thing to think about of like alligators, and I don't know what the case is for crocodiles, I'm guessing it's similar, is like if you've ever seen like when something just like lightly touches the surface of water and alligators like whip themselves around to it mm-hmm. really fast and lunge at it.
Yeah.
And that's because they're sensing the pressure of vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously this is incredibly helpful for hunting, but this is also incredibly helpful, they think, in reproduction and mating, because okay. if you've ever heard males during the mating season, they'll produce these really deep-throated bellows, and that creates vibrations in the water, and they mm-hmm. think that then females are sensing those vibrations as well.
Yeah. It's like lower than I can even imitate.
Yeah. Very, very low. Think of it. I think it was described of like when the water vibrates and like kind of sizzles.
Yeah, you can't
almost.
Really. You can't. Yeah.
But so they think
I'm doing it now.
That is another way. You're doing it right now.
Yeah.
Wow, that's your best impression yet. But then back to these babies. So the bumps are also inside their mouth and around their teeth, suggesting that they can use these pressure sensors to determine what's in their mouth. And is it food or is it a baby? Is it my young? So it's really, really helpful.
Not just like look at it.
Yeah. It's really helpful to know what's in my mouth. What is this pressure?
Wow, that's what she said.
Anyway, but also, moving on, also, they don't only just carry their babies around in their mouth, but they'll also, females will help crack eggs when the young are hatching.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If they can't, the young can't quite get out of the egg. But again, just think of like the difference that they have to know in terms of like apply just enough pressure to let this baby hatchling out of its egg and I can crack a turtle shell.
Well, I mean, they've been at it for millions of years.
They've been practicing the species.
They are good.
Forever. But as a, just a comparison, these sensors are 10 times more sensitive to pressure than our human fingertips.
Wow.
So they're sensing everything. And they're over, primarily.
I'm sorry. Oh, oh my God, there's something. It's phlegm. That's what it is.
Something phlegm. But they're primarily... Do you need something?
Can't inhale.
Oh, no. That's the worst.
That was it. That dislodged the phlegm.
Beautiful. Similar to my booger earlier. I feel like
it's gone back.
Where'd it go? But okay,
why are we single?
Just my bird clock finish, and then we can talk about why we're single. Perfection. All right. And then last but not least, I'll talk about their conservation.
Please do, because
today the American alligator is of least concern, but it does have threats of wetland and habitat destruction. Again, they live in Florida where they love to develop wetlands. They just love it. However, they were once almost extinct.
Absolutely.
Primarily because they were hunted for their hides. Think of like alligator boots, stuff like that. However, in 1967, they were put on the Endangered Species Act. They were put in the Endangered Species Act. They were labeled as endangered under the This is part of my job. Under the Endangered Species Act, which provided them certain protections, a lot of these being habitat protections, and restricted and controlled hunting and trade of alligators. Mm-hmm. And now they have rebounded.
Woo! So that's what happens. That's what happens when we actually do good by animals.
When we actually put the effort and the protections in place to protect animals, they can come back. It's wild because, like, I haven't been to Florida in a while, but when I've gone, I always see an alligator.
Always.
They're everywhere. They're on the side of the road, hanging out in, like, little ditches and stuff like that. You hear about alligators all the time, and they were almost gone. Mm-hmm. Like, completely gone.
Yeah.
And in just, 1967? So, what, 60 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was pretty close, right?
Pretty close.
So it's the years that they were able to bounce back. It just goes to show, like, what can happen when mm-hmm. you... Like, conservation is effective.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Really? Imagine.
But that is the American alligator.
I love alligators. I have a personal affinity for alligators. I thought you were saying
I have a purse, and I'm like, that's a different kind of love. No. I don't think we support.
No, I would not support.
I have an alligator purse.
I have alligator shoes. That's what it is. No, I'm just kidding, everyone. So I grew up going to Florida every single holiday, you know, at least once or twice a year when I was a kid. And I've been there almost every year since. And our backyard had a pond in it that always had alligators. And it was, as a kid that loved nature, that loved animals, I loved going out and seeing Allie. We called him Allie, of course. I think maybe once we saw babies. And now my parents have moved to a new house and that has a giant lake and there's alligators out there. And like you would run into them on the golf course.
Oh yeah.
And I just love alligators. Yeah. I had more to say, but I have had a lot to drink.
Did I do them justice for you?
You certainly did. Okay. I think, honestly, alligators really are so cool. And I don't know if it's because I've lived in Florida, but like, I feel like they're taken for granted because they're so prevalent now. Yeah. Whereas, like you said, they used to be endangered. They almost were gone from this planet.
Yeah.
But they are one of the oldest living things on the planet,
too. They're like the closest thing we have to a dinosaur walking around. And that, I didn't even talk about like their locomotion. Like you just see these things like walking through a golf course and they look prehistoric.
They do.
It's crazy.
Like if nothing else, the fact that they've been around on this planet so long, they just deserve our respect.
Oh my God, yeah.
That's if nothing else, if there's no other reason to protect them, like just the fact that they've endured this long successfully. Ugh. I think you did a great job.
Thank you. I was really, alligators. I also was like, I feel like people know like a lot of stuff like, you know, it's pretty, again, they're not like a crazy secret animal. Like a lot of times we're surprising each other with animals. Like they're pretty well known.
Yeah.
But when I learned about like this incredible like pressure sensor of like a that system that I just didn't know about.
Yeah.
I was like, what? What do you mean?
Well, I think that's a perfect transition and segue, actually.
I love it.
Because talking about systems that animals have that we just can't wrap our heads around, that's where I'm headed.
You know that's my favorite place to be. I'm still reading that book.
Oh, my God. So, my hint for you is probably, like, on par with the hint you gave me. Okay. Florida's most ancient animal.
And it wasn't humans.
Because we're not.
Well, it was more of a, like, old people joke. In that sense.
Was it a joke?
That I just made? Yep. It wasn't good.
Soul. So here is your hint. It's not really a hint so much as a fact.
Oh, fuck.
It's a fun fact about the animal, but I think you're going to get it. They have the largest brains in the entire animal kingdom. Largest brains.
Is it a blue whale?
No.
Elephant.
No, go back to blue whale.
Blue whale. Sperm whale.
Yeah!
Okay, I was like, it's something big. I was like, she didn't say relative to size.
Nope, it's just got the biggest brain.
Just big.
So we recently talked about the giant squid and their top predator, which is the sperm whale.
Honestly, genius.
And so I
wish
really,
I really
wanted to get into the sperm whale because they are so stinking cool.
They're wild.
In doing my research for my animals this week that we were going to be talking about, I went down a rabbit hole on sperm whales.
Oh, my God.
Now, I'm just going to give the highlights.
Sorry, I was going to say sperm hole, and that was not right.
No. So, actually, do you know why they're called sperm whale?
I do. It is the fluid that's in their, like, head noggin called spermaceti.
Sure is.
That was used in, like, lamps shit.
It is. That's exactly it. It's a waxy,
I like whales.
It's a waxy substance that was used in oil lamps and candles, and it's found on in their heads.
In the heads.
In the head.
In and it was big old noggins.
Big old, that's exactly, I wrote big old noggin in just a moment.
Perfect.
Okay, sperm whales are the largest of the toothed whales and one of the largest whales in the ocean. Ashley just mentioned, thank you for showing us your teeths.
I'm a whale.
You could only wish, only hope.
No.
So Ashley just mentioned the blue whale, which is the largest living thing ever to have existed.
Ever existed?
Stop it.
Sorry for helping.
The blue whale is the largest species to have ever existed, but the sperm whale is up there. They can grow up to 18 meters in length. That is 52 feet.
That's long. How many school buses is that?
You know what? I meant to text you. What's that website that you use?
I haven't used it in so long. But it's like sizecomparison.com or something.
Because we're gonna want it for this episode.
Oh, God. How many school buses is a blue whale was one of the top things. I know we're talking sperm whale.
But that's great. That's a good...
But isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
1.5 school buses. This is not the website. This is just, I Googled the question and somebody answered it.
52 feet is 1.5 school buses? That's it?
Yeah.
That's still pretty big.
It's still pretty big.
And here's the crazy thing. They can weigh up to 40,000 kilograms or 90,000 pounds.
This is 80,000 pounds under the school buses. So, yeah.
We're right on. Okay.
I'm now helping you with your research.
Thank you.
So they're big.
They are really, really, really big. But they look totally different from the other big whales that we're kind of used to seeing. We're used to seeing the long pectoral fins, the flat face, beaky. They have a single blowhole where all the other baleen whales have
two nostrils.
To that effect, they kind of are a long cylinder tube shaped with a stubby dorsal fin, mediocre pectoral fins because I don't really need them, and a big old noggin, also known as a melon.
Mediocre.
Yeah, which, although their melons can account for up to 1/3 of their entire body length.
Dang!
Isn't that insane?
That is insane. Isn't it? Yeah, it is.
Apparently in this episode I've turned into Porky Pig.
What's happened? We don't know. I think it's also important to point out that other than, most of the big whales are baleen whales.
Yes.
So a toothed whale has teeth. Where baleen whales have these big sheets of baleen to filter through,
brushes,
filter feed, brushes. So there's, I guess, next to sperm whales, the next biggest an orca, probably?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So and they look pretty different. So also toothed whales are, dolphins are toothed whales. So which are all just very different looking.
Sperm whales,
love baleen whales, but they all kind of look the same.
They all, exactly. That's why I said sperm whales look different from the whales we are used to seeing.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. Sperm whales are the world's largest predator. Because, damn. Like, yeah.
Plankton would disagree.
Yeah, Plankton is probably like, the fucking blue whale.
But the
like,
krill is losing its mind right now. It's fine. Listening.
Doesn't care. Sorry to all our krill listeners out there.
Like a krill with little headphones on. Are you fucking kidding me? The things we go through. And then it's eaten by a blue whale.
I'm just into Finding Nemo right now.
That's fine.
Okay. I'm like on my second fact. Okay. So what's in that big old melon that I mentioned? The best sonar on the planet.
Woo, woo, woo.
And why do they have the best sonar? Well, it's all about because of where they live, which they are found everywhere in the world, from Arctic cold waters down to Antarctic.
They're in Colorado.
They are in Colorado. Just kidding.
Every ocean.
They're found everywhere, on land, in sea, anywhere you look.
There's up a sperm whale. In the Andes, it's wild.
It's a sperm whale. They're in all of our oceans, and they can be found everywhere. They're pelagic. I remember I had trouble with that word a while ago.
And you nailed it on the first try.
Sure did.
I didn't edit anything.
They're found. Should I just start over? They're found everywhere. I don't care. Even though they're found, suddenly lost all my enthusiasm.
You've been so well. They're pelagic.
So, like I said, they're found from like tropical. They're found from.
I'm trying to not like make any kind of face, and I feel like that's not working.
You're making the worst face. Sperm whales are found in all oceans, ranging from like circumpolar region all the way to the tropics.
Nice.
You won't find them in Antarctica or the Arctic Ocean, though. That's what I'm saying. They're pelagic. They're found in open sea. But they spend most of their time in the deep sea.
In the deep abyss.
So they dive up to 2 to 3 kilometers below the surface. And I used kilometers because I figured, like, think about how long a 5K is that you go for a run, or 2 to 3K. Your run that, like, you have to motivate yourself to go on, that's just how deep
a sperm whale
dives to go get its food.
Oh.
Crazy. But that deep below the surface, that is like 3,000 meters or so, and life is completely dark. They can stay down there for up to 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But they are tip-top predators.
2 hours in dark water, that's how you torture somebody.
You would think, but this is where they excel.
This is where they're like, this is where I am meant to be.
They truly are, because you'll remember from our giant squid episode, this is where they're getting their food.
This is where they're getting the snackies.
It sure is. I will get into their snackies in just a moment. But first, I just want to go over some of the other, like, biology, basic biology.
Please.
Calves are born at, like, 13 feet long or bigger, but they don't quite have the lung capacity to dive as deep and as long as mom. So a bunch of females they have really fascinating social structures.
They'll be babysitting.
They'll babysit, essentially. They have social groups where one or more moms will hang out with a calf or calves, like a babysitter or a nursery school.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Oh. And mom will go hunt. They can live up to 60 years, but my notes say, but like, who really knows?
True. You live that deep in the sea, you can live to 200 and we won't even know.
Like, we don't know. All right, so let's get into their sonar. We know how sonar works generally because we know about bats with their echolocation. We know...
Submarines?
Submarines use it. So thinking about a sperm whale, their skeleton, first of all, looks crazy. Like, go ahead and Google a sperm whale skeleton.
Okay.
Doesn't at all look like what they look like. But it's because, as I said, a third of their body is that fucking forehead. So using the spermaceti, which is in their noggin, in their melon, they create sounds that they throw out into the dark of the sea. The sound will bounce back to them after it hits an object, and it bounces back into their satellite dish of a skull, basically giving them GPS directions to the thing that they just ran into. But because their melon is so big, their sonar is louder than a jet plane taking off. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Imagine me and a poor little fish swimming by and be like, oh my God.
You're like, what the fuck was that? Oh, just
a sperm whale.
Sperm whale. God
damn it. Steve again.
Yeah, truly. So I have this fact somewhere else in my notes, but I am just going to insert it here. But
please.
That is, they can find a squid that is less than a foot long more than a mile away. With their sonar.
That's why the squid's got those big ass eyes looking out for whatever's coming.
What the fuck? Yeah, like Steve's coming.
Steve the sperm whale.
You just called it Steve. So
I know. Right. Let's, well, we're going to run with it.
Run with it. Okay. So let's see. I want to get into kind of how it works a little bit because I, like I said earlier, I went into a deep dive.
Pun intended.
The pun was not intended actually this time. I went into a deep dive on sperm whales, got distracted on all of the things I was doing, and I want to read some of this to you because yes. It's fascinating. So how does the spermaceti organ work? It is a cavity that contains the bulk of like the waxy film
substance.
It's oil saturated fatty tissue.
Yummy.
Fun fact, it's called the junk.
Mm.
Which is hilarious. The spermaceti is called the junk. They have two long nasal passages that branch away from the bony nares of the skull. So, like I said, Google the skull. You're going to see what I'm talking about. Those run directly to the blowhole. And then one twists up to the blowhole, one twists and turns and, like, deposits into this satellite dish of their skull.
Gotcha.
Anywho. So this sonar generation is a complex process to make their clicking sounds that the sonar itself. A whale forces air through its right nasal passage, which then like claps shut, claps shut. The resulting click bounces off like another air-filled sac and makes its way back into their satellite dish of a skull. Fish. Anyway, yeah, it's just fascinating. But what's interesting is we are starting to learn more and more about sperm whales, and we think that they may in fact be able to manipulate the shape of both the spermaceti organ and the junk, possibly allowing them to aim their clicks. So not just like they have to point their head towards what they want to see, but like could just, oh, I'm swimming this way, but I want to see what's off to my right kind of thing.
Yeah.
Very crazy.
It'll be interesting because I know belugas can, like, kind of adjust their melon to, like, really point sonar in a different direction. And I have touched a beluga's head. It feels kind of like a hard-boiled egg. I always say deviled eggs because I love deviled eggs, but a hard-boiled egg is accurate.
Yeah.
But I've never touched a sperm whale, surprisingly. But they look like they'd have, like, a little bit hard, just because they're harder. So big that it feels like it'd be harder to manipulate, but I'm not surprised that they would be able
It's
wild to think about.
It is really interesting to think about because, like, they're so big, you don't see a sperm whale twisting its head like a beluga does. But we don't know what they're doing down in the sea, deep sea.
We don't know.
We also recently, in recent episodes, we've talked about how in the deep sea, everything moves slower. So I wonder if that has anything to do with it. Mm. Like, they don't need to be, like, twisting and turning and exploring and curious like a beluga. I don't know.
Also, not to always bring it back to belugas, but I will when I can. Belugas tend to live in, like, shallower waters. They live in incredibly different habitats and are using sonar in such a different way. But they're also, like, kind of closely related in the fact that they're toothed whales as well.
They are. They are, exactly. So it's this melon of theirs, as similar to belugas, is just used in, like, their basic communication.
Yeah.
We have discovered that they have four patterns of clicks that they make. The most common is used for their long-range sonar, which is kind of like a submarine or something. Yeah. Then they also have creaks, which sound like a squeaky door and are used at close range when prey capture is imminent.
Maggie, let me hear a creak.
I don't know.
I mean, I can't say you're wrong. So
we don't know.
I think you nailed it.
Wait, no, that wasn't a door. Let's try again.
I like it.
Maybe.
I like it.
Slow clicks are made only by large males, but no one knows exactly why. Chances are mating. Dominance.
When in doubt, made it out. I don't know.
Oh, that's not a bad motto.
Right? It's not bad.
And then finally, they have codas, which are distinct patterns of clicks and are most often heard when they're socializing.
Mm.
Groups of sperm whales called vocal clans. These are usually like a bunch of females and they're young.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently use different sets of codas, and their repertoire of codas are essentially a dialect.
Yeah. Oh, so cool.
And here's the coolest part. A vocal clan, a group of sperm whales, can include thousands of sperm whales spread out over thousands of miles of ocean. So it's like your second cousin thrice removed who lives in Europe and speaks the same language as you do,
uh-huh,
living in Alabama.
Did you write all that down?
No.
That connection? You were just like off the top of my head.
Yeah.
This is it.
That was it.
I liked it.
Thank you.
Dang. I got two cousins.
So here from these codas, from these dialects, we found that the codas can vary very, very slightly amongst individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And these are their names.
No.
This is what they call themselves.
Oh.
Isn't that just so beautiful?
Mm-hmm. I love it.
So that's the most of the bulk of the research that I'm sharing about sperm whales, but there is so much more. So how are they doing as a species, to wrap it all up? Commercial whaling back in like the 17, 1800s cut their numbers in half.
Ooh, a theme for the episode.
Really?
Destruction for profit.
Whaling was the oil industry of its day, I saw someone say.
Dang.
Which is just really fucking awful how we humans are so greedy.
Much grosser also because you're extracting it from a creature. Like, it's gross when you extract it from the earth, but like, you're just extracting sustenances from...
It's just awful.
I don't think sustenance is the word, but that's okay.
Some scientists believe that with all human stressors, sperm whales' historic numbers have actually been slashed by 75%. And this is a whale species that is found most prominently, maybe not most, but very prominently throughout all of our oceans.
Yeah.
And their populations have been slashed 75%. Today, though, even though commercial whaling no longer exists, which is great, their primary threats include fishing gear entanglements and swallowing plastic pollution, which leads to slowly starving to death.
Oh, that's still a bummer.
That being said, sperm whales are listed as vulnerable. Like most species, they are continually impacted by human stressors and activity.
Mm-hmm.
So they could do with a cleaner ocean and...
Surprise, surprise.
Yes. And just less humans.
That would
benefit them.
But in the meantime, let's not throw our plastic in the sea.
Let's fucking not.
Ugh.
So there you have it. That's sperm whale.
So cool. I love that it was connected back to my animal from a couple episodes ago of the beautiful giant squid. Giant things in the deep open ocean, which is not terrifying at all.
Not at all.
But it is, but it's also incredible.
It really is amazing
to think about.
I want everybody to go learn more about sperm whales because, like, you can learn. There is so much to learn that I only scratched the surface.
Yeah.
I didn't get into the deepness of the sperm whale.
She was so happy when she said that.
I'm really trying. So that being said, do your own research because we are not scientists. We just want you to get excited about animals like we are. But thank you for joining us on this episode. If you like our podcast, make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening
right now
and leave us a review. It'll help us reach more animal enthusiasts just like you. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
What?
We are at The Watering Hole Pod. We have a website. It doesn't matter. It's kind of like our email address.
Stop saying it like that.
What do you mean? Stop saying it like what?
You're embarrassed that we have a website.
I'm not embarrassed that we have a website. We just haven't updated it.
That's true.
It looks fine. It's a good looking website.
It looks fine.
But I do pay for that domain name, so maybe I should say it with more pride.
Every episode. We pay for the domain name. Please go.
Oh my gosh, folks. But tune in next time when we learn about more animals, their biology and habitat, the threats they face, and what people like you are doing about it. Or can do about it.
I don't know what that noise was.
What's that noise?
I don't know how to end it.